And my scripture reading is in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 and start at the 6th verse. For a child is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each one that's here today. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we will bring. Help us to express the thoughts that you would have and that they be understood as you would have. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath. And let all of us be refreshed and enjoy the peace that comes with it. And in all these things, we give you thanks and praise through Yeshua's name, we ask. And amen. And my text to you is the Isaiah 6. And to reduce it down, it reads that his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. My message to you today is entitled Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. And it's no doubt that as different ones would read this particular part of the Bible, that they would perhaps associate these names and titles with the Father, Yahweh. But we understand that we're speaking of Yeshua here and the different names and titles that is given to him and is representative of him. You know that there is a scripture that says that the Father and I are one, and that the scriptures that says in response to a question, show us the Father, and Jesus says, have I been with you as long as I have, and yet you do not see me? If you see me, you see the Father. When we think of the scripture that says the Father and I are one, how is it that we seem to want to separate the possibility of Yeshua being called the Father? We know that he is also comes as a Prince of Peace, and perhaps that's more easily understood as he is part of the God family, and he is the only begotten Son of the Father Yahweh. So different people view these scriptures different ways. But these particular titles that are given to Yeshua, including the Prince of Peace, they're what we would call messianic titles of the Christ child who was born and placed in a manger, just as any other little human child. Each title that is given to him perhaps could be applied to the Father, and what's the problem with that? Is it so hard for us to see that the characteristics, all of the great and mighty characteristics of the Father Yahweh would also be bestowed on His Son. That shouldn't be hard for us to reconcile. Each title is prophetic in its implications. His glory and greatness are proclaimed, and His names are glorious in their wonderful claims. He is coming as the Prince of Peace. He is coming to establish His kingdom on this earth, and it's being established now. It will be different parts to it, different times applied for different things. Each of these messianic titles contains a divine promise, and within that title, the Prince of Peace, perhaps, is the highest of all the titles. He is to be the answer to our heart's deepest need. It's for sure that it is a monumental task as we humans think of perfect peace. Whether there could ever be such a thing, living in the world as we live in it today, with all of the things that's happening, both from a materialistic standpoint, a spiritual standpoint, power within the world standpoint. Yeshua is to make it possible for humans to be at peace with Yahweh and to live at peace and with peace with one another. Sin has created a horrible and terrific and chaotic existence for all humans. And it might be a fair question, who can possibly restore the peace that once was? And if we think of when has there really ever been peace from the beginning of time, perhaps we would think of the Garden of Eden, God's first part of His first and at His first of creative works, placing man and woman there to take care of the garden. And perhaps that was the closest thing to peace on this world and on this earth that we have today and know today. Perhaps that's the closest that it has been. And perhaps that's why places in Revelation imply things returning to that kind of peace. And of course, when it comes, it will come only with Yeshua and His ushering in that new existence. Who can restore true peace? Some obvious facts in thinking about the Prince of Peace and true peace being here and possible. Some of the obvious facts is that the heart of man, the inner spiritual side of all men and women, hunger for peace. That desire for peace is universal. America wants peace. the war-torn Asians, most of them, and the Middle East wants peace. People involved in conflicts all over the world, they want peace. But why have we failed? And obviously we have failed to bring in or to produce true peace. We have achieved the highest standard of living that the world has ever known. And due to medical research, our longevity continues to increase. Prosperity prevails, even in the economy that we have today. But there is an absence of peace. Substitutes for the Prince of Peace have been accepted, and nations are now not encouraged to depend on God for peace. Recently, we've heard of many reactions to the restaurant Chick-fil-A and how they felt it necessary to say what their definition of marriage is and should be, that it should be based on the biblical idea of marriage. But did you know and did you see on TV, along with all of the other bits and pieces of that particular scenario, did you see that it was, seemed like it was close to a dozen, but it was for sure at least a half a dozen of the major cities in the United States, their mayors coming out with a reaction to this response. And the mayor is saying, we don't want Chick-fil-A in our city. Did you see that? What a shame. What a shame that the representatives, the main representative of major cities across this nation would come out with such a reply that if that's Chick-fil-A's idea of what marriage should be, that we don't want them in our town. Is it any wonder that God is reacting to situations all over this world, but certainly within our own nation? When we have leaders like this that obviously don't read their Bible and don't understand their Bible to know the true biblical definition of marriage. But yet, we have the blessings of God continuing up to this point on our nation. And for sure, the ones of us that hold on to the true biblical principles that God lays out and His commandments for living, truly, God blesses us just as He said He would the people of Israel. Just as our Torah portion this morning let us know that as we continue to live our lives and hold on to God's commandments and His ordinances and His principles, and that we don't forsake them and we hold fast to them, we cherish them, that as we do so, God will prosper. He has and He will. And he will continue to prosper those that react to him in that manner. But what about the ones that don't? What about so many of our leaders, so many of the governments, so many of even the ones that we see, you know, on TV, on movies, out in Hollywood? Celebrities. What about them? What does the future hold for them? That obviously have already, if they ever did hold fast to God and His principles, they have forsaken them now and are trying to influence to the best of their ability anyone else that would listen to Him. As if there's anyone that ought to react to them and what they stand for, trying to influence us to think that the evil ways of man is what God wants. But we know God's principles and commandments and His ways are exactly opposite to these mayors that I've spoken of, to ultra-liberals, to Hollywood. We need not to ever fall into any trap or lead us or our loved ones to be led astray, to be deceived, to be distracted, to listen to things that are portrayed to be normal and standard, but yet they are exactly the opposite. We needed to have our hearts and mind on God. Even after achieving the highest standard of living and longevity increasing, prosperity prevailing, still an absence of peace. And still, as we know, substitutes for the Prince of Peace have been accepted regardless. Nations being not encouraged to depend on God. How can you think that your nation is depending on God when they're constantly wanting you to take God out of your life, out of your courthouses, out, period? That's exactly the opposite. Individuals have accepted substitutes for the Prince of Peace, and they look to education, to wealth, to friends, and to health for peace. All of these disappear, and turmoil prevails in their heart. Did you know that peace is the gift of Yahweh? He alone can give true peace. The priests of the Old Testament were instructed to bless the people with a benediction of peace. And so we repeat, as we do each and every Sabbath, this benediction that were given to the men of the Old Testament to bless the people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine on thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance on thee and give thee peace. In Numbers 6, 24 through 26, what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful prayer. And as we are reacting to what God would have us to do and to remember then He blesses. It makes you wonder. The ones who don't do this, the Bible lets us know curses should come to those that do the opposite. You know, if curses would come to God's people if they don't do His commandments and laws and statutes, what would you expect to come to the ones who do the opposite of God's way and are not God's people? I'd say multiple curses. The psalmist recognized peace as one of the blessings of God. And in Psalms 29 and 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Let me say that again to you and remember this. The Lord, let the psalmist know that the Lord will bless His people with peace. Get more God, more of Yahweh, get more peace. The prophet Isaiah perceived that true peace comes from a right adjustment of life to the will of God. In Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just saying peace. It's saying perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. Do you trust in Yahweh for all that He provides and brings to you? As you do, your mind will be cleared of the clutter, and you can have more of that perfect peace. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Apostle Paul believed that the Heavenly Father is the giver of peace. And in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, we read, and the Apostle Paul wrote these words, be careful for nothing. That's saying, don't be overly anxious about things. Don't get so upset at the drop of a pen. Least little thing goes wrong, don't get all in a turmoil and angry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants you to communicate. He wants you to pray to Him. He wants you to let Him know what's on your heart and in your mind. Can He read your heart and mind? Yes, He can. But He wants communication. He wants your outward reaction. He wants to hear your request to Him. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Yeshua, through Christ Jesus. For the Thessalonians, he prayed, Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, it lets us know that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is the author of peace. If you want peace, find God. Trust in Him. He will be there for you. He promises you to be with you through each and everything that you go through in life. Through all of the ups and through all of the downs, through all of the in-betweens, He will be there with you and for you. Apart from God, without God, there is no peace. You can depend on it. You don't have God, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to feel purpose in life. You're always going to feel something is missing. There is a link out of the chain, and it's your chain. Without God, there is no peace. Isaiah 48 and 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And when Israel rebelled during the days of Jeremiah and the peace of God departed, one of the Israelites said, "We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble." Jeremiah 14 and 19. Without God, people are out of step, both now and for all eternity. You cannot come to grips with the values of life without God and without His Word, without His teaching, without His laws, without His commandments and statutes. You cannot get in step without those. Without God, there is no peace. Yeshua is the only source of true peace. The Prince of Peace is peaceful in His disposition. He bears long with His enemies. What did He command you to do concerning your enemies? Get rid of them. Turn your back on them. Walk away from them. Not have anything to do with them. No, He didn't say that in regard to your enemies. He said to love them and pray for them. Did He say that was going to be easy to do? No, He didn't, and is not. It's directly opposite to what your nature would be, your human reaction would be. But He bare long with His enemies. He endured much at the hands of His friends. Yeshua is always accessible, and He's always available. He's always ready to forgive. The Prince of Peace is the disposition for which the Savior was renowned. He brings peace. He ushers in the better way. Peace is the blessing that He died to purchase. Let's look at Romans 5 and 1. Can we get that? Romans 5 and 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ," Yeshua. Let's look at John 20, 21. And we read and see that peace is a blessing that he lives to bestow. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And he sends you with the peace of Yeshua. In Christ, we cease to war among ourselves. Christ is the one that delivers sinners from their follies, from their passions, from the evil that destroys them from within. Christ, Yeshua, is peace. He bestows peace, he exercises peace, and he delights in peace. Let's speak of the peace that Christ offers. And when we think of this, we know that most people are eager to have a peace that can be understood. Because this kind of a peace is based on the pocketbook, on money in the pocketbook, in a secure position in the family, secure within your workplace or business. And based on having a healthy body. The peace that Jesus gives cannot be won on a battlefield or purchased with money or secured through medicine. His peace is not that of the conquering sword, but of a prevailing spirit. His peace is not the peace of stagnation or inactivity. He does not provide us with a spiritual narcotic to keep us from facing reality. But he's with us through the storms of life. He will see us through the storms of life. He will deliver us from the storms of life. He does not keep us from facing reality. Neither is his peace the peace of freedom from inward temptation. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was tempted by all things, and yet he was without sin. We will have the things of life come against us. We will be tempted. We will have suffering of all sorts. The Prince of Peace brings peace from Yahweh and gives us peace with Yahweh. His peace is the peace of surrender to the rule of love. Have you surrendered to love over hate? Love over anger? We need to put our hearts and lives in the hand of Yahweh and accept the love that he gives and let it reign within our hearts and minds. His peace is a peace of fellowship with Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. His peace is the peace of self-control. We all need a lot of self-control. When we lose our temper, when we let anger and wrath prevail, it's obvious we need more of God's love and more of his loving characteristics within us. His peace is a peace of fellowship, self-control through spiritual power and divine energy. His peace is the peace of assurance that our sins have been forgiven. Is there any question in your mind that as a child of God, and Him being your Father and you being His son or daughter, is there any question that your sins have been forgiven and it is as if they are in a sea of forgetfulness with God? He doesn't remember them anymore? We can have the peace of the assurance that our sins are forgiven and they will be not remembered anymore. With His presence, it is possible for one to walk with poise in the midst of storms and calamities. Do you want to walk with confidence even though the storms of life blow against you? And it seems as if on every hand that somebody's out for a piece of you. You can walk with poise with Yeshua and Yahweh, fighting your battles there with you in the storms of life. They will always be there for you. Yeshua brings to us the perfect peace that can only be had through the proper and right life of living in reaction to the Word of God, through His commands and laws, through His principles, through His statutes. We can have that peace that Yahweh brings. But we must put Him first in our hearts and our minds. He must have priority one. He must not be on the back bench of our life, but right there on the front, for us to see Him first as things come against us and to us. We need to recognize He is the deliverer. He is the sustainer. He is the great forgiver. He is the one with the ultimate plan for all mankind. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. He understands, and He will hear us, and He will be with us, and He will deliver us. The prophet said in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Let our trust be in Yahweh and Yeshua. Let our minds and our heart know that they care for us more than we understand. And they want the very best for us. They have it to give to us, and they'll give it to us as we need it and as we go to them and ask for these things. The best of all gifts is there for us to have. It is but just a prayer away. Let us stand. And I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful and blessed Shabbat Shalom. May the peace of God be with you on this day. And may you have His blessings as they all come to you. Let's read these blessings all together now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. I can't think of any better words to hear on any day of the week, and particularly my blessed, peaceful Sabbath from the Lord.